Welcome to Since You Asked with Jim Barrier on the Cross Global Media Radio Network. Send Jim your questions about the Bible and Christianity to jim@cgmradio.com. Subscribe to Since You Asked by visiting us online at cgmradio.com/ask. And now, here's your host, Jim Barrier.
If you then, even though you are fallen, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Every good and perfect gift is coming from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Last week, we looked into Paul's teaching about gifts and their purpose. Today, we will look at the individual gifts he mentioned and how they operate. There are other gifts suggested in the New Testament, such as celibacy, martyrdom, hospitality, and perhaps more, but we will focus on the gifts mentioned in the letters to three different churches from one author, the Apostle Paul. With the same context, there is one body with many members. The texts are found in 1 Corinthians chapters 12 and 14, Ephesians chapter 4, and Romans chapter 12. I will take each gift one at a time and explain what it is and how it operates. Some of them are repeated in the letters, but I will address them only once. The word of wisdom. This is not just wisdom that comes with age, or street wisdom that comes with experience. It is wisdom that is imparted supernaturally by the Holy Spirit, and it can happen in an instant. The key is, it is word of wisdom. It is meant to be shared with a group or an individual. It gives guidance or understanding about specific circumstances, and God's wisdom about what needs to take place. This can be very helpful in counseling. It can also be used corporately in church strategies. I was in a meeting with the elders of our church that I had recently become pastor of, and one of the elders said, "We expect our members to tithe. I believe the church should also tithe." We all agreed, and I announced the following Sunday that we set a goal of the church giving 10% of all the money that came in to other ministries. Within a year, we were actually giving 20% of the church income to home and foreign missions. Amazingly, our annual budget began to grow every year. That was a word of wisdom. Word of knowledge. This is when information has been given supernaturally that enlightens details about someone or some situation. Like the word of wisdom, this one needs to be shared. I have been in conversations when suddenly I spoke words to someone with information that I had no way of knowing except that the Holy Spirit dropped it into my brain. They are usually surprised that I would know these details. I was with some friends one time. One of them, who is not a Christian, in fact, he lives a pretty wild lifestyle. And he said to the lady behind the counter, "You need to listen to that man," and pointed to me. I immediately began to pray. When she was done serving, she came around the counter and said, "Do you have something to say to me?" "Yes," I answered. And then I looked her in the eyes and said, "Someone has hurt you very badly, and you need to forgive them and walk away." She stared at me and then began to sob, and she hugged me and said, "Thank you. I needed to hear that." You should have seen the look on my friend's face. I think he knew that something profound had just happened. It was a word of knowledge. Faith. Now, this is the ability to believe God for the impossible. Prayer is an integral part of the gift of faith. You need this God when you ask God to do something that is impossible for you to accomplish, and you need to trust Him to do it. I was pastor at an inner-city church where we served the homeless and the needy. We had a very small congregation on Sunday and the budget to match. Often when discussing what we did and how we did it with other pastors or ministry people, they would ask about our funding and then shake their head and say, "This doesn't work on paper." We were staffed with volunteers. We received incredible donations of quality food and money, most of the time unsolicited. Over the years, we provided 75,000 meals in our soup kitchen. The Lord provided so faithfully that sometimes we called it the Church of Loaves and Fishes. We had faith for the impossible. Gifts of healing. When I was a new believer, I was in a church that didn't teach about or practice spiritual gifts. I had developed walking pneumonia. I thought I just had a bad cold, but it never went away. I finally went to the doctor, and after much treatment, my doctor proclaimed me well. But I still had a lingering cough. Now, I was just a teenager. But I had read in the book of James, "If anyone is sick, let him call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will heal the one who is sick." After service one Sunday, I went apprehensively to the pastor and told him of my plight, then read the passage from James. He called some elders of the church over and then reached behind the pulpit and produced a tiny bottle of oil, which I never saw before or since. The men gathered around me and began to pray. The cough immediately went away, never to return. From that day on, I believed in healing. Now I need to make a comment about the line, "Call for the elders of the church, and the prayer of faith will heal the one who is sick." I know of a church where they have healing services, but when someone comes forward for prayer, they are asked, "Do you believe without any doubt that God will heal you?" And if you cannot answer that question yes, they won't pray for you. They've got it dead wrong. It's not the faith of the person who is sick, it's the faith of the ones who pray. Now, notice it says gifts, plural. That is because there are different kinds of infirmities. We tend to think about physical healing, which is where most of the healings take place when this gift is applied. But there are other afflictions we sometimes need to be healed of. People need spiritual healing, as well as emotional healing. And just as I believe in going to the doctor or getting counseling, there are times when God will heal people of inner diseases miraculously and instantaneously. That brings us to the gift of miracles. A miracle is when the power of God overrides natural laws. Walking on water is a miracle. Feeding thousands of people with a few loaves and fishes is a miracle. I have known people who drove their car across stretches of highway long after the gas gauge read empty. A friend of mine in California survived one of those devastating wildfires. Every house around his burned to the ground, but the flames jumped over his house, and his was untouched. You will never convince him that that wasn't a miracle. I know a woman whose husband was in the Pentagon on 9/11. When the Twin Towers were hit, people began to evacuate the Pentagon. Her husband was moving down a hall and suddenly hit what he described as an invisible wall, like a force field. He turned around and herded people to another exit. When the plane hit the Pentagon, it hit right where he would have been. An example in my life also involves planes. One night, I was having dinner with the man who was my spiritual father and mentor. That evening, he asked me to preach his funeral when his time came. Much later on, I got a call at 6 in the morning. I saw the caller ID, and it was a mutual friend of ours in San Diego, where it was 4 a.m. I knew immediately what the call meant. Jim, Steve's voice trembled. Dan passed away. And I know he wanted you to preach his funeral. When will it be? I asked. He said, the family is still making plans. I'll let you know when I find out. Okay, I said, but you need to know that I'm just getting ready to leave town with friends. And I don't get home until Friday evening, so hopefully it'll work out. He called me while I was in the middle of my trip and said, I'm so sorry. The family wants to hold the service Saturday morning. I don't think I can do it, I said. I'm still in another city and my plane lands in San Antonio late Friday night, and there isn't a flight Saturday that would get me there in time. On top of that, changing flights on such short notice is more expensive than I can afford. I'm so sorry, he said. I knew it would be a disappointment. Tell Barb I'm so sorry, I told him. I was crushed. Friday evening, when we were in the terminal waiting for our flight home to San Antonio, a voice came over the PA. The flight to San Antonio has been canceled due to weather. There was immediate chaos, and passengers were scrambling, beginning to line up, trying to make other arrangements. I decided to avoid the lines, and I went down a little further to another gate. I told the person my flight was just canceled, and I asked if there was another way to get home. Well, there is one seat on a flight to San Diego, but you need to hurry. They're boarding right now, and you can fly home from there. By the way, I asked, what was the issue with the weather? Fog, she replied. Fog, I thought. I've never heard of San Antonio getting fogged in. My friends wound up spending the night there and catching a plane in the morning. I hustled down to the gate and boarded the flight to San Diego, and it hit me as we were in the air. God, you're up to something, I thought. When I arrived, I went to the gate for the connection to San Antonio, and the person said, you still won't be able to fly to San Antonio because it's still fogged in. But I can put you on the same flight tomorrow night at no extra charge. I called Steve and said, I'm in San Diego. Can I spend the night? Saturday morning, Dan's widow, Barb, arrived, and she smiled at me and said, I knew you'd be here. I believe in miracles. Don't be afraid to believe in miracles. The next one is prophecy. Vine's Expository Dictionary of the New Testament defines prophecy as to speak forth the mind and counsel of God. A prophet is one who does so. It has been said that a priest speaks to God on behalf of the people, while a prophet speaks to people on behalf of God. In the Old Testament, prophecy was mainly predictive, and it usually centered around Israel and/or the coming of the Messiah. Jesus fulfilled most of the Old Testament prophecies. Of course, much of what is described by Daniel and the book of Revelation has probably not happened yet. Another definition of prophecy is to speak under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Jesus called the Holy Spirit the Comforter. Listen to 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3. The one who prophesies speaks to people for their edification, encouragement, and comfort. Now, I've met self-proclaimed prophets whose words tear down rather than build up. They produce discouragement and discomfort. I've concluded that they are false prophets, based on Paul's definition of that gift. The discernment of spirits, or distinguishing. The root word in discernment is to judge. It means to distinguish or make a distinction. It is literally to judge what spirit is behind someone or something. There are times when dealing with people that I discern that something is not quite right in their spirit. This is very important when dealing with people who are involved in occult practices or unnatural behavior. It can also be useful in seeing a person's motives or understanding what they mean when they speak. In Acts chapter 16, a woman was following Paul and Silas around saying, "These men are bondservants of Most High God who are proclaiming to you a way of salvation." What she was saying was mostly correct, but she said a way, not the way. And Paul became annoyed and finally turned and rebuked the spirit in her and cast it out. He discerned something was wrong. And discernment is often accompanied by the need for deliverance. This is not an area to take lightly, but it is also not something to be afraid of. Doesn't it say, "Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world"? And, "If God is for you, who can be against you?" I suggest that if you discern something is of a nefarious nature, that you pray and ask God what the next step should be. The gift of tongues. Well, this is the most controversial of all. Tongue means language. I live in a community that is probably 2/3 Hispanic. We have Mexican restaurants and taco stands on every corner, and I love it. And one of my friends' favorite thing to order is lengua, which is beef tongue. Bilinguals understand that tongue and language mean the same thing. This gift is the ability to speak a language that you have never learned or perhaps even heard. On the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, the believers were filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in different languages. The onlookers from various countries were bewildered because they heard the disciples speaking about the mighty deeds of God, each in their own native tongue. The term Pentecostal refers to people who are known for practicing this gift. A good friend of mine named Charles was counseling a man from Africa who was depressed and contemplating suicide. My friend asked if he could pray for the man, who agreed. Soon Charles was speaking in a language he was unfamiliar with. As he prayed, the other man began to weep. And then he said, "When did you learn my tribal language?" And Charles asked, "What was I saying?" "You spoke words of comfort and about your God." His depression left, and he began to follow the Lord. In 1 Corinthians 13, it mentions tongues of men and of angels. Sometimes you can be given a language that is not one of men, but it is a heavenly spiritual language. This is often referred to as a prayer language. Romans 8:26 says, "The Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes through groans too deep for words." Sometimes in my prayer, my understanding falls short, and my prayer transcends my ability to figure things out. And that's when I use a prayer language. The interpretation of tongues. This is just what it suggests. But it is a supernatural ability to understand languages. You don't learn it in a book or a classroom. In 1 Corinthians 14, Paul teaches that in a corporate setting, if someone speaks in a tongue, he should pray for interpretation so that others can be edified. Otherwise, speak to yourself and to God. He goes on to say, the outcome is this: I will pray with the spirit and with the mind also. By now, you may be recognizing that a person can operate in more than one gift. Most of the time, there is one gift that you will find yourself consistently manifesting. Look for opportunities to use that gift. We will continue next week when we will address the remaining gifts, which include those that involve leadership in the church. I pray that you will continue seeking the giver of gifts, and that you will recognize and practice the gifts that He has given you by His grace. This is Jim Barrier, and you've been listening to Since You Asked.
Since You Asked is a production of Jim Barrier and Cross Global Media. Visit us online and subscribe to the show at cgmradio.com/ask.